Blog Talk Radio.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Chief Porter, coming to you from the city of Orlando and the roundabout areas, and sending greetings to each and every one of you that are listening today. Lots of love, hugs, and most of all, prayers to you, 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 and you, trusting that you are in a lovely place right about now. We thank God for being with you once more and again, and we trust that you are blessed, and you are blessing us, too, by praying for us also as we pray for you. Now, here is Sister Diane right now.
Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name. Lord, you're King of Kings and Lords of Lords. You are that conquering Lion of Judah. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our Creator. And we say thank you. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord Father God, for waking us up, clothing our right mind, Lord Father. Father God, giving us a second chance, Lord Father, knowing that this day wasn't promised to us, Lord. We say thank you. We glorify and magnify you, Lord. Thanking you for all that you're doing and all that you have done for us, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we ask you, Lord Father God, for forgiveness and those that we're praying for, Lord, forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord Father, for your forgiveness, Lord. And, Father, as you were just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespass against us, Lord. Father, as I lay my hand upon this prayer list, Lord, you know each and every person, name by name, Lord, Father. Father, you know what they're in need of, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, for those that you have already healed and answered their prayers, Lord, Father. We thank you for the prayers that you're answering, Lord, Father, as we pray. And the prayer that you are the healing, Lord, Father, that you're about to give some, Lord, Father, and answer, Lord, Father. Father, we thank you and we glorify you, Lord, Father, taking nothing and no one for granted, Lord, Father. Oh, Father, we ask you to touch this day, Lord, Father God, Eldred Christian, Lord, Father, touching from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet, Lord. Father God, as we speak, Lord, Father God, to his body right now, Lord, Father. Father, we come against that fluid right now, Lord, Father God, that built up on his lungs right now, Lord, Father. We ask you, Lord, Father God, to touch right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, Father, we thank you and we glorify you, Lord, Father, for all that you have done and are doing right now. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, for bringing Kenya, Lord, Father God, out of the hospital, Lord. Father, we ask you to continue to touch and heal her body right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we hold before you Heather, Lord. Father, touch her as we continue to pray for her salvation, Lord, Father, her peace and comfort right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, touch her family as well right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we hold before you Pastor Dungy and her family, Lord, Father, on the loss of her loved one, Lord, Father. Father, continue, Lord, Father God, to give them the comfort, Lord, Father God, that they need in this time, Lord, Father. Father, you say you will not leave us comfortless, Lord Father, and we're thanking you right now, Lord Father, for your comfort over that family right now, Lord, as we pray also for traveling mercies, Lord Father, for those, Lord Father, that will be traveling right now in the name of Jesus. Father, all those, Lord Father, that has lost loved ones, Lord, Father, we thank you and glorify you right now, Lord Father, for the comfort in you, Lord Father, knowing that there is no loss, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We glorify and magnify you, Lord. Father, we hold before you Richie, Lord Father, asking you, Lord Father, to continue to touch his body right now, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for bringing him through those surgeries, Lord. We thank you, Lord Father, for continually just touching the doctors right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father, continue to touch Sister Elizabeth as she stands by her son's side, Lord Father, praying and interceding for him right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for Naomi right now, Lord Father. We're praying for her healing right now, Lord Father. Touch each and every doctor right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we ask you right now, Lord Father, touch all those that are dealing with earthquakes right now, Lord, fires right now, Lord Father. Touch them right now in the name of Jesus, Father, that they will cry out to you, Father, like never before, Lord Father. Oh, Father, there is so much stuff that is going on, so much wickedness, Lord Father. Oh, Father, if your people, Lord Father, would just stand together in unity and praying and tearing the devil kingdom down and taking back everything, Lord Father. Oh, Father, we just bless your name and magnify your name, Lord. Oh, Father, I ask you to touch this broadcast right now as we cover it under the blood. Father, we cancel every assignment, Lord Father God, that was sent towards this broadcast. Anyone, Lord Father God, speaking or listening on this broadcast, we cancel the assignment right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord Father, for just showing up and showing out, just having your way, Lord. We thank you for healing and deliverance, just being on this broadcast, Lord Father. Father God, touch the listeners. You know what they're in need of right now, Lord Father. Father, those that are listening now, those that will listen at a later date, Father, we thank you, Lord Father God, for touching them, Lord. And those that don't know you, Lord Father, as their Lord and Savior, Heavenly Father. We thank you and glorifying you, Lord Father God, for them, Lord Father God, making the decision to come, Lord Father God, and accepting you as their Lord and Savior, Lord. Father, I ask you to decrease my apostle and pastor, Lord Father, and Father, you increase in them right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen, 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 praise ain't God good? Did you hear your name? The prayers of the righteous today availeth much. And we want to pray for you, you and you, and yours. Yes, call 347-857-3925. And someone will be on the line to take your information. And we will be praying for you on a continual basis. We don't just stop praying while we're on the air. We continue to pray at our other prayer times and prayer on the prayer conference lines and all. We continue to pray for people as God gives them to us to pray. Your needs, yes, and we thank God for it today. Yes, yes, yes. And remember now, you got to pray too. All right, let me give you this. Lord, I hope I didn't change the place. All right, thank you, Jesus. Oh. I thought I had my place, didn't I? All right. Well, let's go to another one. All right, here we go. For every achievement, there is a price. For every goal, there is an opponent. For every victory, there is the problem. for every triumph, there is a sacrifice. For every achievement, there is a price. For every goal, there is an opponent. For every victory, there is a problem. For every triumph, there is a sacrifice. So govern yourselves accordingly. We thank God for being here today, and it's a gloomy day outside, but nevertheless, we know cold weather snaps in and out, don't it? Oh, yes, it do. Praise God.
Amen.
We thank God for Pastor Sharon. We thank God for Pastor Nathan. We thank God. Amen. For him, praise God. Hallelujah. Sister Diane. And most of all, we thank God for you, you and you. Trusting this is a day that you will always remember. Amen. Sadness is over the land, all over. But you know, in spite of a little sadness, there's still sun that is shining somewhere. And it could be in your life today. Who knows? But anyway, we thank God for us still being here today, don't we?
Amen.
Thank God. Something close on me, huh? Praise God. Amen. Now, we were having ourselves a good time yesterday, the formal broadcast. We had a good time. I had a good time anyway, whether you had one or not. But, you know, every time I go over this, kind of glance over this. Now, I just can't forget. And Hannah prayed. And Hannah prayed. Did you hear me? And Hannah prayed. Did you hear what I'm saying? The woman prayed. She had been barren so long. Didn't have a thing. Didn't have no child. Provoked by the enemy. Do you hear me? The woman was provoked. But Lord have mercy. Do you know what I was thinking earlier? I was thinking about this. God gives us keys. But if you don't never use them, they no use to you, are they? Think about that now. Now, God gave her the key to her dilemma. You have a dilemma perhaps in your life, something that hasn't been worked out and has been there for a long time, right? Now, if the dilemma cannot be worked out, you read the scripture. You will find your set of keys. As Hannah did, she was praying, but she wasn't praying effectively. Nothing was happening. Did you hear what I say? She was praying, but nothing was happening. Okay. Something she wanted dearly. Something she wanted. But when she learned how to use the keys she already had the keys. She just didn't know how to use them. Think about it now. What do people tell you, the Christian world tell you? When you have the keys, what happens? Faith will unlock the door. That's the use of the key. The keys are in action now, being put to use. Do you get it? That's where the keys are. Now, why am I going talking about this from the previous broadcast is this? Because so many people really didn't get it. They didn't get it. And they are still going around with nothing happening in their lives, no favor from God is happening in their lives. Something is just, you've been asking for and asking for and asking for and asking, and nothing has happened. And I said many times before, and I say now, the 11th verse of the first chapter of 1 Samuel said, no, we'll go to the 10th. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Now, she'd been weeping before. She's been crying out before, going to the temple, crying to God. How are you doing today? Are you crying about something? Let me say, basically one thing most people cry about is, I want to see your hand at work in my life, Lord. I want to see a miracle. You know, have you ever said that? No, most people have. Everybody have. I've said it. You know, okay? But when you get down to a point, one point in your life where your soul hurts, because you want it so bad. You want to see the hand of God at work. You know, you've heard and heard, and the preacher done preached and all that, and heard people talk about it and all, but it did never happen to you. Everybody else around you seemed to be getting blessed but you. Now, you are blessed now, because them blessings do what? Certain blessings rain on the just and the unjust. Okay? Certain things you are privileged to. But you didn't get what you absolutely want. Bitterness. She was in bitterness of soul, prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Now, I like this. 11th, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. You know what? You can't forget to praise God while you busy asking him for stuff. You can't forget to praise him. Give him all the glory and adoration to him. And he moves more that way. See, she said, oh, Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed, you know, this word indeed, look at it. I thought about Jabez. He used that word too. Bless me indeed. Now, here is Hannah saying, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid. And remember me. Not forget thine handmaid. But will, that is a key. Let me stop there. Now that's the key. If Jabez had that in his prayer, she has it in her prayer. Don't you see the key that God has given you to unlock the door? The door of doubt and unbelief. And to receive a manifestation. Can't you see it? Do you see it? Now I want you to take that word. Now, when we talked about Jabez, now we're talking about Hannah. Now take that word, indeed. Okay? You really want God to bless you, don't you? Don't forget me. Remember me. But will give unto thine handmaiden a man child. She specifically told him what she wanted. She didn't say just any child. She said a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, this woman, whether you know it or not, she was prophesying, wasn't she? Now, here, woman barren all these years, and her husband got this other wife, and the wife having children, and children, and just rubbing it in, and you know, just making fun, poking fun at her and everything, and stuff like that. You know, that was some of you women that we know. You would have popped them up, popped the one, didn't you? Mm-hmm. You'd have knocked out, says you won't have no more with you. You know, that's the girls of today, what they would do. But she went to the Lord and cried and cried and cried some more. You say, boy, if she got any more tears, all them years of crying. But this one time, she got down to business. She would not let anything or anybody stand in the way, her husband, nobody else. Nobody standing with this time. I got to see God. I got to hear from God. Be determined. Come on, get determined. I got to hear from you, God. I don't want to hear from nobody else. I want to hear from you. You know. And when you do, you put yourself in the place where you can, can't you? All right. Mm-hmm. You'll get it after a while. And it came to pass. And she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. So Eli said, this woman must be drunk. She right here just crying and sobbing, and she really, I mean, when you really get serious with God, you don't sound like you used to say, you don't do that. You get down, you put out some snot, don't you? You really cry and you moan and please. Don't even, listen here. Stop saying please, God. Don't say please because that don't move God. You just say, God, oh, Lord. You put that O in there. And you linger with that O. Oh, Lord. And they know it's coming out of the deepest part of your soul. That word is coming out. Now you're getting his attention. See what I'm talking about? I'm trying to help you use your keys. Okay? Now you started prayer. We're going to pray, and you go to church, and you get on the prayer lines, and you say, pray for me because I do want a little baby. You know, I do want a little baby. I want a car, I want a house, I want this and want that. This is what you're saying. But you ain't really got down to serious business with prayer. When you get down to serious business, it come out the deepest part of your soul, and you feel it in your belly when you start to really, truly pray. Your stomach start hurting. Because you go real deep with that prayer and calling God. You want help. See? Now, if the doctor told you you was dying in a few days, a week, or whatever the case may be, you want some prayer, tall prayer to come forth. And when you ask somebody, you don't want nobody that don't know how to pray. You want somebody that's going to reach God, unlock that door of faith in me, E-Much. You see what I'm saying? They're going to unlock the door of faith for you. And then you're going to get in there and walk in that door, and you're going to do the rest. Make a vow to the Lord. You know, God, when these men and women of God make vows, did you know God hear and open up to them? Huh? You didn't know that, did you? But he said, make a vow and keep it now. He said, make a vow and don't keep it. Okay? And what happened? I tell you, no sooner as she got the word, she continued praying to the Lord, and Eli, she talked to Eli, the priest, and he thought she was drunk, She told, no, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I ain't drunk no wine, no strong drink, but I prayed out my soul before the Lord. And he said, don't put me in the same category with the daughters of Baal. I ain't no daughter of Baal. But out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Well, listen here. When she finished up, this woman must be, you know how she had to be anointed? Because when she talked to Eli and told Eli that, Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Now, he did what? All right, you got the key. And now, put it in the lock. When I say go in peace, the Lord is going to grant it, your petition. And listen what she did. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She was happy she had got a word from the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful word, too. And guess what? And they rose up in the morning early, worshiped before the Lord, returned and came to their house, to Ramah. Elkanah knew Hannah. Boy, he came home and got busy. Huh? See what I'm talking about? Faith caused them to come home and get busy. He heard that word. He got the word, and she got the word, and they went on and went on. Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. See? Oh, boy. Life came back to him, didn't it? Joy came back to him, didn't it? Isn't that something? And you thought everything was dead, didn't it? But it came to life. And when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son. Hey, let me tell you, God can do anything but fail, can't he? Did y'all understand that? God, no matter what your problem is, you don't hold back. You give more of yourself. Be a sacrifice, unto the Lord. Be a sacrifice. Stop holding back and, oh, I'm shame and, oh, you know, I got too much pride. What people going to say? Fooey on people. Let them say it. They're going to talk good or bad. People going to talk about you. If you try to please them, they're going to talk about you still. So you might as well do what you do best. Okay? Keep trusting and believing God and doing what God say do. See? What pleases God is what you should try doing, not what pleases man, because man, you ain't going to never be able to please, you see. So now she had to wean the child and all before they left she'd leave him to the church, the temple, okay, and all. Now, let me tell you, when God has a reason for things, people, let me tell you this. You don't ever know what your prayers that you're making is going to lead to. Now, do you? She didn't know asking just a common little thing, asking for a child. She thought, because she's being put to shame by his other wife that he had, that this will solve her problem. Yes, it'll solve it in a way. But in solving her problem, see, God always know ahead of time what is going on. And delay don't mean that he's denied you. Do you understand? See, it's a lot of people around that's delayed their blessing, delayed God answering. But God is getting you to a place for you to receive what he has for you. And in order to get to that place, he has to deny you that which you desire, because it's not good at this time, because you won't value it. Do you get that? I sure hope somebody got that. So, now she got the son. And she's got the, God wants to see you going to keep your vow too now. See? She got the son. Are you going to give him up now? Or you want to keep him close to you? You don't want to give him to the Lord. Think about it now. Whatever you ask God for, I don't care if it's a car, you promise God, God, I'll get pick up some of the saints and take them to work, or God, I'll see, go take the sick to the work or to the doctor or whatever. I'll do this or that if you bless me with a car. You get a car, you ain't thinking about sick and suffering children and nothing else. You don't pay your vow. Do you get the picture? Because you promised God what you's going to do if he bless you. God, you give me this job. Oh, God, I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to, Lord, bless the church. You get the job, bless it. The church don't see you nor your money. See? We don't pay our vows. Do you get the picture of them? But she paid a vow. She says, when I wean him, I'm bringing him to the church. That's what she did, people. She took him to the church. And she said, she gave him back to God. See? Because what? He said, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She took him to the church and set him in there. Now, she didn't say who going to feed him or how he going to do this or how he going to do that. She did not go through all of that. But she began, when you look at the second chapter, you'll see where she started. She prayed. She took him there and she prayed. Lord, I like this prayer. See, God let her know all that he's going to do, what he will do for you, 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 and you. He tells you, read that second chapter up there, especially the first 10. Especially those chapters. But let me tell you, she wasn't through. You think that's all she did? Took a child there and left him? Of course. A mother gonna go every year. Now she coming. Listen now. Every year she's coming, make him a new coat and bring him a coat. Because she know he growing. She weaned him and she left him there. And she know he's growing. And listen, God will take care of him. God will have somebody here to take care of him. Do you see? Would we think like that? No. No, we ain't. What we did, we say, hey, let me go over here and get my child. I know Eli ain't taking care of me. Eli ain't doing nothing. You know, we would go through changes. But she made him a coat every year. See? The scripture tell you in the 18th verse that Samuel ministered before the Lord being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifices. She knows she'll see him every year. And he was doing what? What God called him to do. He was made a prophet by God. Did you see that? And therefore he ministered in the house growing. Of course, he was growing, growing, growing. Mm-hmm. She's a wise woman. She brought him a coat every year because she knew he was going. He wasn't going to stay the same size. Hmm? And she wanted to meet his growing needs. That's what she did. Okay. But today, are we that wise? In the house of God, when we get there, are we wise enough to know that we need some changes in our life because we should be growing every year? Hello? We should be growing every year. Instead, we think we're supposed to stay the same. We want to stay, well, I speak in tongues. Okay, but is you going past that? Are you going beyond that? Well, now, okay, let me tell you. If he told you, you prophesy in part and you know in part, but that when that is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with, the scripture said. Have you gotten to the point where the Holy Spirit is now directing you? You may not be speaking in no tongue, but you are being directed and moved by the Holy Spirit because you have grown. Hello. And when you have grown, he operates your life the same way he operates from his throne. Jesus. The Holy Ghost, that spirit, does what? Rules you. Your spirit should have changed by now. Just like Samuel as he grew. He become more prolific, can't say the word, in his walk with God. He can do more, see more. And he don't mind speaking what God is showing him and telling him to say to the people. See? Eli really at first didn't know what he was there for, just that his mother, promised God and she brought him and left him to the temple. So I guess he raised him up in there with his son. But guess what? He didn't act like his sons because he was different. See, his mother say that a razor will not come near his head the same way Samson was. He wasn't supposed to have a razor on his head because that's where his strength lies. See? So God had her prophesying to herself about her son. That's what she was expecting of her son. See, you can lay your hands on your stomach, mothers that are carrying your sons or daughters or whatever you carry. You can lay your hands on your stomach, prophesy to your stomach and your child that's inside. What are you expecting from that child, of that child? You want to be a little gangster? Or you want him to be a prophet? And God will show you the difference, you see. But we've got to come to the knowledge that as they grow, they've got to have the right preparations. They got to have the right teachings. You got your child growing, well, I want him to be just like me. No, you don't. You ain't doing nothing for God. How you want your child to grow up to be a nincompoop? You don't want your child to grow up to be dumb and out there gang banging and cussing out their own mother and everything. You don't want that. You want a proper child. Raised up in the fear and admonition of God. Well, she knew that was what he was going to be because God took so long to give her a son. And she was looking for, that's what you call looking for perfection in your child. See? He wasn't going to go wrong, give her trouble. See? When his shoes grew out, he had shoes. She brought him some shoes. Everything he needed, she had to bring it to him. So what is God saying to us today? As we grow in grace, God has new garments for us, new anointings for us. See? And we don't seem to realize the fact that you have to grow. I don't care if you're pastor, evangelist, teacher, preacher, prophet, apostle, bishop, whatever you are supposed to grow. And as you grow, God gives you the next garment you need to grow, to fit you. In other words, the anointing that is in you will be what you need to put on. Do you get the picture? Hmm? See? That last year's winter coat ain't fitting you this winter. See? It ain't fit. You need a new coat.
My God, hmm? Come on now.
You know, you used to speak, whatever you used to speak. But this year, you're not saying anything. And you're saying, oh, Lord, have you left me? Have you left me? No, I left you. I'm just changing things in your life to let you get closer to me. The closer you get to me. You see, Samuel had to have a new coat every year because he was getting closer and closer to God and to his destiny. Are you close to your destiny today?
My God.
Hello, somebody. See, the mother knew because God had already fine-tuned her. When you start reading that prayer that she prayed, you know that God fine-tuned her, and she was prophesying to herself, her children, and anybody else that needed help. And she had to prophesy to that other wife and her children about what they were doing, what was going to happen to them. See? Now, you laughed about me not having and being barren. But now watch out what Jesus is going to do to you. Okay? You may be barren too. You don't know whether God going to take your children because you laughed. At somebody else because they didn't have. You don't have to worry about doing nothing to them, getting back at them, you see. But know this, that everything has a reason. And when he began to grow and his purpose began to show because he worked in the temple, ministered, and he had on some garments, priesthood garments. He had them on. Young, he had them on. Because they were made just for him. His title, his status in life, his character, his authority, all of this was in him. Do you get it? See? Now, you've got to come to the place where you have on the right garments. If I don't say nothing else, do you have on the right garment? Have you put on your next garment? Are you still going with yesterday's suit? Huh? Come on now. You going with what was yesterday. You's older than a day old bread. You see? The church is still trying to dance and shout on the past. They want 40 years ago to be now, and it's not possible. Did you hear what I'm saying? The church was here because it was put in a growth position. When it was planted, it was put in a growth position where it will grow progressively. Do you get the picture? There cannot be a revival coming unless there's changes, unless there's growth. Everybody's looking for the revival of the past. You don't want that same old thing to go in the past, because y'all talked about the preachers and the evangelists and everything of the past and every what they didn't do and all of that stuff, but you want that same revival to come. Well, let me tell you, the same thing that will come is each person will be anointed at their growth. Okay? It ain't about the title. It's what garments are you wearing. Have you changed clothes since you believed? Have you been elevated since you believed? Or are you still in the same thing? You know, you got that group to say, put on a hat. You got to have the little dolly on your head. You got a group that clothesline preachers. They are still going on from the past, so they have not yet elevated to the now. So if they haven't been elevated to the now, they can't make it to the future or their destiny, because they are locked in, stuck in the past. They don't want to know the new mysteries of today. God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He don't change, but he changes modes of operation. See, he changed the way he operated for each generation, each dispensation. There is a new change, a new garment is being worn by the people of today. In order to wear the garments of today so that you can get to your destiny, your growth pattern is fixed so you can get to the destiny that he already planned for you. You see, Adam had to get through that, didn't he? See, he started out with one, with no clothes. That's it. Then he ended up, he had a garment on. And from that garment went on to another garment as he progressed. As the gods changed, things begin to change in our Christian walk. The Christians begin to change. But yet, they want to go back of what it was in the beginning. You don't want to go back. Not really. You weren't making it then. When all the great evangelists was out there and God was using them, half of you didn't want to hear them either. So what make you want to hear something from the past now? You think you'll believe more? You going to believe just like things are right now, or you won't believe at all. I'm so glad God got a map and got everything planned. I'm so happy that he got everything planned. That I'm not looking for the same thing that happened in the past. I'm looking for what? He said, behold, I do a new thing, and now shall it spring forth. Didn't that what he said? I'm looking for the new thing. Are you not? Huh? Every church should be looking for the new thing. They're upset because the church is not going like it used to be. Well, it can't go like it used to be because God is what? Infiltrating a change here. And you either get with the change or you just stay in limbo. Come on now, think about it. I told you to be different today. Didn't I tell you to be different today? Because I'm trying to get you out of the slump you in. Or you maybe have lost your keys. And if you lost your keys, you don't know how to get in the door, do you? You can't get in the door because you done lost your keys. And if you lost your key, you're in trouble. Now you got to start all over trying to get you a new set of keys. You know, you got to find a locksmith. Do you find, can you find, you know you can't find as many locksmiths as you used to could find. Not many of them around. And you know something else is hard to find today? People that repair shoes. You can't find a repairman, shoe repairman. You used to go find them all over the place. Now you can't find them. They want you to keep buying shoes. You know? If you don't get your key, you ain't had no business losing it, they'll tell you. Okay? So, when it comes down to church world, you want the church to be the same, right? Now, when a child go to school, they start with what? Kindergarten, don't they? Most children. But each time they grow, they got to go to another grade, right? Well, don't you think the church is the same? As you grow up in grace, in Christ, things should be changed. So you don't view Christ as different. He's still the same. But you're not liking like you were in the beginning when you started out as a little seed. You're not like it. Huh? That plant is grown, and it's grown. And it's still growing. Do you know it's still growing? Now, that has nothing to do with your age. See? Samuel didn't have any of this thing, to do with his age. Okay? He was put in a position by God. God was the one brought him in this world. See? Now, he didn't come through immaculate conception. As Jesus did. Okay, he came through a regular birth. But it was a miraculous birth. You see, there was a difference there in the birthing process. So, Samuel became the prophet of all times there. And the man was so anointed that when he come to town, the whole town began to tremble. What we done wrong? What we done wrong? Now, let me tell you, if a prophet come to town, don't you think something should be shaken up then? Nothing is shook now because everybody, they want to be a prophet, even if God ain't called them to be a prophet, they want to be a prophet. Samuel told you he was special. His mother knew he was special because God took so long in giving her that son. She prayed over that son, prayed about that son, what she desired in that son. What was she doing? Putting the word of God in her son before he was born. See the power that God give us in our tongue? He say, greater is he that is within you than he that's in the world. God is already in you, so naturally when that seed get in there, he do what? He make it how he want it to be, molded how he want them to be. I just thought I'd throw that in for freedom caution. See, God knows what you need. He knows what the church needs, but we need to do what? Cooperate with God. And to know, we need to put in the knowledge of our knowledge that God don't keep you the same. And the members of the church need to know that the pastor, leader, whoever they are to do what? Change according to what God tell them to change the word to. Not changing the word per se, like giving another word, but the same word, but change their methods. God said, don't preach like that no more. Preach like this. You do that. That's the change I'm talking about. Because the members need to put on a new garment. They need to change clothes now. You done taught that to them for the past 15 years. Now it's time for them to change and grow up. And when that happens, you know somebody going to be mad. Well, honey, she done changed. Well, what are you supposed to change? You're supposed to change too. See, you're supposed to change along with it. Instead of running off, talking about they didn't change. So you're looking for somebody in the old time way, 40 years past, you're looking for somebody to still do the same thing. Oh, Lord have mercy. So you see, Hannah knew, see, the way to go. She knew what to do. Even though he didn't live with her, she didn't have a hand in raising him. Nobody but God raised him. He was so anointed till God spoke to him one night, and he didn't know it was God speaking to him. Read the story. He didn't know it was God speaking to him. So he ran to Eli, who was the priest at the time, and Eli asked him what was wrong, and he said, well, you know, he hear this voice, but he don't know where it's coming from or who it is. Eli said, well, next time he talk to you, answer, yes, Lord. I'm here, Lord. What happened? And he told Samuel, and Lord have mercy. I know you would have said yourself, Lord, I wish I hadn't asked what you wanted. Because what did Eli tell him? He told him, answer the Lord. And when the Lord told him what to do, to go to Eli and tell Eli, Eli couldn't say nothing else because Samuel was there for that purpose. To do what? This is what God placed you in the church for as a leader. No matter what your title is to do what? To make sure that when it's time to grow, you grow. And when the word come, don't get mad because you refuse to grow with what God is planning now. You did not want to be that flower that kept growing. To come a beautiful rose or orchid or whatever. You didn't want to go because you know there's going to be thorns on the rose. You didn't want to be no thorn. But let me tell you one thing. He had to tell Eli what thus saith the Lord, because Eli didn't take care of the house of God like he was supposed to. Now, what you think going to happen to the people of today that's still trying to bring back the old 40 years ago to the now? It is not going to work. This is what I'm hearing. It is not going to work, because God do what? When she changed garments, that means God will change our garments, what we're to wear, what we're supposed to do for this hour in order to get the work done. I'm not saying give up faith. I'm not saying stop being holy. We're not saying any of that, are we? Praise the Lord. But we are saying this, that this age, God's word never changes, but he changes the way he operates. If God want to do a new thing, he say a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. This is your now to spring forth in what God has already planned for your life. Every one of us lives. Changes is evident. Everyone has to have a change. You cannot stay the way you was 50 years ago. I cannot stay where I was 50 years ago or then. We have to show growth. If we don't show growth, that's like the fig tree that died, that he cursed, and it died. Do you get the picture here? I sure hope you get the picture. I know. Y'all want to hear somebody else now, don't you? Praise God. You want to hear somebody else now, don't you? Praise the Lord. But let me tell you, do like Hannah did. Pray the prayer. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Hear my cry, Lord. Jesus. She said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Then she prays, and there is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Let me tell you, that second chapter with that prayer that Hannah prayed, that should get you rolling to allow God to do what? To put you in his growth process. This is what you should be doing right now. Letting him, let him put you in his, in the process. It don't matter who don't like it. Don't you allow them to take from you your growth pattern. How are you going to become the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ if you don't grow? He didn't stay a baby forever. And he didn't stay on the cross forever either, did he? Talk me now, think about it. Hallelujah. See, you got to learn the process. Learn that you are in a process. And things change. It becomes what it should be at this time. It becomes like health food for you in a sick body. All right. Praise God. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. I go on, don't I? Praise God. When you get wound up, God just starts it going. Praise God. Here, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. I tell you, so many beautiful, awesome jewels being dropped all over the place. I tell you, from this word from Apostle Porter. We thank God for the word from Apostle Porter this morning. And I tell you, when while she was the woman of God was talking about Hannah being barren, and the word that I was hearing when she was talking about being barren, and we know the story has to talk about her barrenness was she desired a child. And you can understand the situation when her husband has two wives. There's another wife, and she's being fruitful, and she's multiplying, and she's reproducing, and there's fruits of their labels. And she's seeing that the children that was coming forth look like her husband, too, and the mother. And you being right there in the same place and no child. But then when I was looking through the word of God, it tells us that God was the one that closed Hannah's womb. God was the one that closed it. God was the one. And you can find that in 1 Samuel, the first chapter, verse 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And it talked about the sixth verse, and her adversary also, and her adversary also provoked her sorely. How did she provoke her? Did she intentionally went out her way to rub it in her nose? Or was it every time you see the seed and the child from his other wife, it reminds you of your unfruitfulness, or it reminds you you did not produce. And there's times when God will put you in a position, because he said God is the one that did what? Shut her womb. And God will put you in a position to provoke you. The adversary, her enemy, why? Why was she her enemy? Because what she saw, the desire that she, what she wanted, the person already walking into it. It provoked Hannah. Why did it provoke her? It provoked her to what? Cry unto God. It provoked her to seek God. And you heard the woman of God talk about what? I'm sure she had been praying all along. But it came a time when she started using the right keys to unlock the door for the prayer to be answered. And Hannah came to the place, and sometimes you come to that place in your life where you just get sick and tired of the same foolishness. See, I'm being nice saying foolishness. You get so sick and tired of that same old devil. You get sick and tired of that same situation. You get sick and tired of no change, no growth. You heard that word? No growth. Nothing have changed year after year, day after day, or month after month. And there's some time when you leave some people alone, and then you hook back up with them and hear from them again. You say, my God, there's still no change. But we know that each and every day when the sun comes up and the sun comes down, there is change, right? Because when the sun goes down, then the moon has to come up. Everything around us is always changing. Everything around us changes towards the seasons and the times of life. But man, humanity don't have, they don't pay attention to make sure that change come forth. But Hannah got tired of being provoked. Intentionally or unintentionally, it's still a provoking situation. Because you go to that place and then you do self-examination and you ask God the question. And she asked God a question. She asked God.
And she petitioned before God. And she make a vow before God. And she seek God's face. And she used the right word. Because they, you let me know you got to come before God with praise and worship. You have to worship him and recognize who he is, that he is God and there is none other but him. And he's the one that can create everything. He's the one that can speak the word and things come into manifestation. He's the one that moves and he can breathe. He can tear down and he can build up. You got to go to that right word to bring forth that change for you. So Hannah was provoked into finding the right key. And we do that at times when we want a change in our life. It provokes us to do something different. It stirs you up to stand up and say, not so anymore. It stirs you up that say, I'm going to use this as a stepping stone. It stirs you up to pray more, to seek God's faith, to don't allow your adversary to take you down to their level. Why? Because you want something different. And barren means what? Unproductive, dull. Fruitless, destitute, mentally. And some of us are barren mentally also. We are unproductive. Cannot change. Cannot do anything different. Always in that same merry-go-round like as a child. You go around and around and around. And you got to jump off that merry-go-round and make the change. And say, I'm going to go another direction. Because if you don't, you will continue to be barren, not producing anything or incapable of producing. What caused you to be incapable of producing? When God's word let us told us that life and death is in the power of your tongue. When God told you to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and everything else will be added unto you. And if you seek him, he told you, you will find him today. So what is it we need to do? We need to find out what we are not doing. Stop using the wrong key. Use the right key that will unlock the door of access that you need today. I mean, the word is right on time because I know while I was at my home place, I was just saying to God, you know, I'm just tired of the same foolishness. And sometimes you come and you said it may be 30 years, and you say, my God, that's a long time for that same old devil. But you don't shy from it. You confront the situation. You deal with the situation. Because if you don't deal with it, how can you conquer that mountain? Because the mountain may just be in you. It may just be in you. And then we talk about the seed. What does the seed do? The seed produce. And she wanted that seed. She wanted the seed. So when the prophet released the word became that seed. Her prayer was answered. And we all need that our prayer to be answered. But it has to be what? Something, you have to be provoked, y'all. Think about it. When you made change in your life, something provoked you to make the change. Something happened in your life to bring forth that change. Something had to happen. Either the enemy was on you so bad that you had to cry out to God and say, Lord, help me. Or you were in a place of destitute, in a place of lack, in a place of sickness, in a place where you just gave up and said, Lord, I surrender it all to you. Surrender things to God today. And let the glory of the Lord shine upon you today. Because the glory of the Lord shined upon Hannah when she answered her prayer. And favor was there. Favor was produced. But remember now, it is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our sight because he, God, is the one that shut the womb. Well, because he, the husband asked the question, and think about it with Rachel. Think about the ones. People always thinking about is the natural child, but that you could be barren, y'all. You're just in a place that you need some change, some fruitfulness, the ground to be fertile. A barren place means there is nothing going on. It is dead. It is no water, no moisture. There's no fertilizer. The ground is not fertilized, so nothing can grow. And when you're coming into an accursed family, nothing grows for you. Nothing happens for you. Nothing good comes forth out of you. If God doesn't break, give you the right key to use to come out of that place. We got to remember, pray. Prayer is the key to unlock the door. But using the word of God, I tell you, he told you to remind him of his word. You got to use them same scripture. Use the same scripture. Use the word. Some people paraphrase, it's okay, whatever it takes for you to do. But to let the Lord know today, you need that change to come forth in you. You need a change. You need to know that there's favor in your life. You need to know that you are already blessed from the foundation of the world. Just like Jacob, he had to know. He wrestled with his angel. He wrestled within himself. But we got to come to that place to know without a shadow of doubt that we are blessed. It doesn't matter what anyone say around you. But it does matter what God is saying. And I'm always reminded when the enemy, see, we say the people, but the enemy uses people to pronounce the wrong blessing. I say blessing, right? The wrong word over your life. But you know what? When you get into that place of prayer before God and there's favor with God and with man, he will use your enemy to turn around and speak blessing over you. Only a mighty good God can do a thing like that. He can change anyone's heart today. It doesn't matter. Release the past. Release who provoked you. Release it. Just say, I thank God for them that came in my life to provoke me. It provoked me to do better. It provoked me to seek God. It provoked me to be a better me. Because that's all he came to do. It was to bring the best out of you. God already told us what we are. Just like the book of Revelation already told us about that Jesus is victorious. It's the same thing with us. When a word comes for us, God already telling us about what we are. We just walking towards it. So today, remember, you're not your past. Now, when I say you're not your past, that's for the ones that making a conscious decision to make some change. And you can't say, stop saying I'm this. Are you consciously, are your action showing the change? Remember, we need to walk in the favor of God. The favor of God manifests itself in a seed named Samuel. And then I'm reminded, isn't that something? God took somebody else's seed to bring into the house. Because Eli had two children. But Eli... You know, sometimes you got to make sure, say, God, if I'm in the way a long time serving you, keep me on fire. Keep my eyes burning sharp. Keep me with a spirit of alertness and awareness that I will not be fanned into complacency and allow my children to defile the house. Because that's what Eli did.
All right. Amen.
Because we can lose the fire we have. We can lose the justice, the indignation over sin. We can lose these things. And then we start taking shortcuts. Eli took shortcuts.
Right.
He took shortcuts. Why? You talk to your son. He talked to his son. But you know what? That's all he did was talk to them. He did not do drastic action according to the word of God. So he caused what? Things to happen. He caused things to happen. And then the Lord came to him and said, well, wait a minute. You used to offer me more. You used to give me more. You used to give me the best of the best. Now what happened?
All right.
You used to do this and do that. What happened? You allow the children. You allow the circumstance. You allow that's what you're going through to cause you to lose that fire for me. You see, where is that in the Bible? It's there. I was turning it, and God came to him and talked to him about it. He told him about it. You know, God don't play. He wants what's his. Praise belongs to him. He wants what belongs to him. Because no man going to take his glory. Glory belongs to him today. So today, examine what? Myself, yourself. Make sure you don't allow the barrenness of what you're going through. Barrenness could be poverty, trial, test, whatever it is that's causing you to be in a dry place of not producing. And the word is what? Dull and stupid, according to the dictionary, and fruitless. It has mentally unproductive. Now, you know that's not of God, right? That is not of God. Because God, he is all power today. So remember today, let the glory of the Lord shine upon you today. Let him bring you out of that place. Renew yourself in him today. And remember where he has brought you from. Don't allow any circumstances to bring you back into that place of bondage. But spring forth today and go forth like never before. Know that God is with you. Remember, he's answering your prayer. You got to rise and shine today and give God the glory. And knowing that, he is God today. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Amen, amen, amen. Can't tell me that word wasn't rich. Can't tell me that wasn't an awesome word coming from God today. We thank God for the word coming from Apostle Porter and Pastor Sharon. And I love that. What keys did God give you? Do you remember? Time to go back. Sit in that quiet place and think about the keys that God gave you. What keys today is going to unlock that door to God, for God to move in your life today? What keys? Because we can't go to God any kind of how. So, you know, today, watch what we're doing. Watch what we're saying and pay attention to the keys that God gave us. So tune in every Wednesday and Thursday to Blog Talk Radio. That call-in number is 347-857-3924. That's 347-857-3924. That's Lord, I thank you. I glorify 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm trusting that the word that came forth yesterday and today just help you in some way, form, or fashion that you're able to continue to go on. So today, self-examine yourself as you remember the keys that God gave you. Every Friday night at 11 p.m., we have the Wailing Walls Prayer Conference line. That call-in number is 480-660-2316, code 3333#. That's 480-660-2316, code 3333#. That's every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So come on, let's tear the devil kingdom down and take back everything that we have allowed the enemy to steal from us. You would like to bless the woman of God, sow a seed into her life, sow a seed into this radio broadcast, continue to keep us broadcasting. We ask you to go to our website, LogianInternationalMinistries.com, and hit that donate button. Again, that's LogianInternationalMinistries.com, and hit the donate button. That's LOGION InternationalMinistries.com, and hit the donate button. Or you can send it to the City of Victory, P.O. Box 2228, Apopka, Florida 32704. That's P.O. Box 2228, Apopka, Florida 32704. Till then, be blessed.
On my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. Then I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
I stop worrying,
worrying
how the story ends.
When I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his
way.
That's when things
start happening.
I stop looking at that thing.
When I let go,
I let go,
and
I let God,
let him have. So much going on. Sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle, struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright, yeah.
Soon as I stop worrying,
worrying
how the story ends,
I can let go.
I let go, and
I can let God, let him have,
let God
have his way.
That's when things are happening. I stop looking at that.
Oh, when I let go. Let go, let God, oh, let go, and let God, let go, and let God, my brother, let go, and let God, my sister, you can't handle it, let God.
God.
Let God. He can handle it all.